This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Fly FM. It's 11 minutes past 9, or 9 minutes past 11, rather. Sorry about that. 9 minutes past 11. Our guest today is a gentleman called Mark van Vuren. We are waiting for him to join. We had to switch the different Zoom platforms at the very, very last second and caused a bit of a hiatus in connection. But I'm sure Mark will be with us very, very shortly. But in the meantime, maybe just to share an experience that I had with you, I had this week with all of you. I went to an engagement party in Modi Inn on Thursday night. It was a wonderful celebration. Lots of friends, lots of people, two sitting together, a lunch foot in the Gush, and Modi Inn in the center of Israel, the bride and the groom from respective cities. And communities that didn't really know each other. And, it was a typical engagement party where people came and they ate and they chatted. And there was a lot of noise in the room. The acoustics were very bad. And then, there were a few speeches that were short and succinct and to the point. And then the music started and there was dancing. And I was just looking at the youngsters on the dance floor. I was in the room. Who to juggle Miluim, which reserve duty, to get out a day early in order to propose, and now back in reserve duty. I looked at so many youngsters dancing with handguns in their belts, and these are people between the age of 20 and 24, and think they're kids. They're in university. Or they are back in reserve GT, or they are working, and just a great time. And every single one of them either knows someone personally who was killed in the war, someone's been killed right next to them or with them at the same time, knows many people who have been injured severely. Themselves are suffering from emotional and psychological turmoil that they are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. When you look at them from the outside looking in, they just look like normal kids. And they had a great time and they danced. And I mentioned this to a few people and just looked at these youngsters with awe. That they never asked for what was being flung their way. They never asked to go to war. Most of them asked to serve. Most of them were asked to join, and they did so willingly, and a lot of them volunteered to join because they were maybe not eligible to join at that time, but there they are, having done their duty to their country, having proudly served, having seen and witnessed the most horrific things, and yet comes to a friend and colleague at arms engagement party, they're there 100% as if they were just normal kids who had never been through this. And this goes to show how resilient people are and how committed they are to an ideal of a place belongs to the Jewish people, our homeland, and that they will do whatever it takes to defend it and to make sure that all its inhabitants are safe. And I thought it was just a very poignant idea to share with everybody listening. And we live with this constant guillotine hanging over us. If, when, Iran will attack, more than that. What's happening with Jordan? What's happening with Syria? What's happening with Lebanon? What are the Egyptians doing? And it's a really, really challenging position to be in. But just that I had an opportunity to share that. Craig had to ask you if I joined on the link. He said he's waiting to be let in. Craig, can you just joke? Oh, there we go. Mark is with us. Mark, welcome to 101.9 Chai FM.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Avi, for inviting me onto the show, and hello to your listeners.
Great. Apologies about the technical hitches over there. But Mark, you're going to talk about something that I understand very little about, yet every single one of us deal with it on an ongoing basis, and we sure hope that somebody else is dealing with it on our behalf. I know that so many of my friends and my one son are heavily invested in this industry all the time on an ongoing basis, and that is basically cybersecurity. And from the little that I understand, it just means that when you and I are talking on this conversation, you at the same time haven't gone to into my bank account, emptied it out, paid it all over to Craig so that he takes the fall for it, and then in 2 weeks' time, he sends you euro in your Spanish bank account. Have I got it wrong?
Jeez. You know what? I wouldn't put it past some of those cyber criminals out there. Because the nature of what they do nowadays is really, really sophisticated and very, very clever as well. And I mean, you mentioned that you're not that clued up in terms of cybersecurity, but the reality is that it really affects absolutely everyone, from anyone with some kind of online digital presence, right through to old people who have cell phones and receive text messages. So it is a huge challenge, and I know that a lot of organizations are doing a fair amount, or doing what they believe is the right thing to try and protect us against the cyber criminals, especially those organizations that look after our money. But it's just becoming a huge problem, and we don't really see. If you talk in the IT industry and organizations trying to solve the problem of cyber criminals, using every which way they can to get into an environment, we as the preventers don't really see our fellow IT.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 FM. It is 21 minutes past 11. And I have been having a personal one-on-one tutorial with Mark Buren about cybersecurity and CoreServe and Secon, their partner. But now it's time to give it all to you. Apparently, the system crashed. This is just the challenges of updating and upgrading. Mark, to summarize, what you are saying is that there's relationships between yourselves and Secon. You as a value add company have created an exclusive agreement with them that you will be their provider going forward. And we're talking about you spend time on Copper Belt in Zambia, speaking to companies over there. And I don't know what you said, but you obviously were heard and you hit a raw nerve, because there are basically along the lines, forget Africa, aren't the Indians and the Chinese and now some of the Arab states our biggest threat?
Sure. The threats are coming from absolutely everywhere. They really are. They're the traditional bad actor syndicates. And those bad actor syndicates come from, typically Russia, from China, etc. But the syndicates, have got a global reach, and their presence is in fact everywhere. So, and remember, we're talking cybersecurity here. We're talking cyber, so it doesn't really matter where you hail from at all. Your presence as a what you refer to as a bad actor, and believe me, these bad actors are very, very well organized in syndicates. Their reach is pretty much everywhere, so it's not necessarily down to one particular nation or one particular region.
So just to give our listeners a bit of an idea of, if you haven't had an experience of cyber crime, you may have had an email that's written by a five-year-old to say that they need help to move the money that they got when their uncle died in the Korean War. And please, can you help them to do it? And they'll give you 40%. But if you watch the movie The Beekeeper, that will give you a absolute idea of this angelic older woman who is just living the autumn of her life, has really done everything right, and within a minute is left with absolutely nothing. You know, I know people who've had their bank accounts wiped out, but not had their savings wiped out. And these are the things that are really important. Mark, let me just ask you something off the bat for myself. I am very lucky. I work at Discovery, hardware, software. I don't have a choice as to when and how it's updated. Sometimes it's in the middle of a client meeting, which is the most frustrating thing in the world, but at least I know it's happening and it's done. My wife is connected to one of the largest universities in South Africa and in New York, and her cyber is also taken on by that. But your average Joe and Sarah are just guys and girls sitting at home with either Macs or Windows, and they're just doing their thing, and this frustrating thing keeps coming up. Renew your security. I said, okay, they look at it, they see a dollar sign with a couple of digits afterwards, and they say, forget it. What does that offhanded dismissal of that really mean to that person?
Well, it can mean losing, you know, a lot of money. It depends on the person's circumstances. You know, I've had examples of organizations, when I say organizations, one-man shows, legal practice as an example, run, you know, one single lawyer who's got his entire legal practice, obviously electronic, and he doesn't have the protection because he doesn't really, either doesn't want to pay for it or he doesn't really understand what the protection means. And boom, ransomware and everything that he's worked towards, you know, and he's got has completely been wiped out. So the severity of it is far more, and the cost of trying to recover is far more than the cost of paying for simple you know, preventative measures. So, you know, the basics like antivirus, you know, should always be there. In fact, the bad actors don't really care how big or small you are. If they can get in and can attack you in some way, they will. Okay, so whether you're a one-man show or a large organization, you know, you will be in the firing line. And those of us that haven't had the experience yet of losing money, giving money away, that's what it actually is. You know, it's all about protecting yourself and getting cybersecurity savvy. You know, there's a lot of information out there for people to read up on. I was actually on a show last week where I was asked what are the five things you should be, you as the man in the street should look out for to prevent yourself from being, you know, from losing money, etc. And my number one was don't click on links, because that's one of the biggest things. Is that you get, you know, you'll get an SMS or you'll get an email, or you'll get a WhatsApp, or something like that, with a link, and then people very innocently click on that link, and that's when, you know, the nonsense starts. So something can be downloaded onto your phone or your laptop, and they'll be capturing all your key movements and things like that. Get your passwords and stuff. So that's those kinds of basic things is what you should really look out for as a man in the street.
I want to come back to the link, but people are asking now, obviously having got themselves into this mess, Natasha wants to know, I'm being held ransom by a company who via ransomware got my information. I can afford to pay the amount. It is not exorbitant. But is there any ethics amongst thieves? Will I pay? What is the guarantee that I will get my stuff back? Then she goes on to say that there's nothing there about third parties. It's just all my university theses that I need that I only have one copy of.
Yeah, it's a horrible and very unfortunate situation. And The challenge is that you aren't guaranteed whether these guys will actually provide you with the right key. And often the challenge is that they come back after a while. So it's not just about the first time that you get ransomware. And for example, you pay the ransom and they do provide a key for you. That key might unlock half of the information, not everything. So there's never a guarantee about that. And then also what's quite common is they come back a year, year and a half, even 6 months later, and they will do the same thing over. The frightening thing out there, though, is that the number of corporates that actually pay the ransomware is a lot higher than one thinks. You know, we always recommend, you know, do not pay the ransomware. But a lot of corporates go ahead and they do pay the ransomware, and they do recover a fair amount of the information. But they do also run the risk of these guys still being in their environment, lurking away, just quietly sitting there, and then coming back and doing another attack down the line. It's a really, you know, it's an extremely difficult situation to be in, and you know, I couldn't give anyone the advice to pay or not to pay. It's you know, it's entirely up to the individual. But if you do decide to pay and get your information back, you do run the risk of it either not happening, or if it does happen, then you know, being re-ransomware down the line too.
You know, Mark, I suppose that's all right if it's your own information, like this young Nastasia. If she gets her stuff back and then they come back to her in a year's time, big deal, because she's got what she needs. But where it's a person like a lawyer who's allowed private information to go out and now can be held ransom literally indefinitely, it's a really tricky thing. But it's also getting to the point where I know I had to do a whole course through Discovery as to recognizing links when they come through. Because, for example, where I am now in Israel, everything works on links. So you'll get a link from the equivalent of SARS, from the medical aid, from your doctor, from the insurance, and clicking on the link takes you to their page. And obviously, it's not such an issue here. But I know I had to be able to recognize just by the link whether it was kosher, so to speak, or not. And the truth of the matter is, how many times have we clicked on things and gone, damn, I didn't even read that bloody thing. It came clicked, and I just want to get on with it. So it's all about educating. And I also feel that maybe with time, AI will step in and will sort of become another guard for us to say, you did click it. Have you read it? We noticed that your eyes did not settle on this for more than 2 seconds. You know, please confirm that you want to go on, which is, and again, just sorry, as an aside, just with AI, I've had the most phenomenal journey recently with AI, where it has really revolutionized the way I operate, the way I write emails, the way I get back to people. But that's all good when I just want to say, please send Mark an email just to say the show was great. It's the show I did with him about that email that he sent me. It'll find the email, boom, boom, boom. I just ordered the email and I sent it. But when I say, Marcus, send me his schedule, please do this that I cannot do. It's only can be done through certain AIs and you need to pay for that. So again, if you are a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a doctor, and you're using AI, number one, please make sure you're using AI that is suitable to your profession. And number two, check with your association or board or whatever it is that they're happy with this as to how it works. Mark, let's go on to the regulatory environment within South Africa. When you live out of South Africa, people often look at South Africa, they just like look at you with this shame look. And then you sit at the table and you talk about the typical challenges about, you know, little things like water, electricity, potholes. And they look at you like, and you only left 5 years ago? What took you so long, you know? And why do you go back? And when you talk about going back, about how familiar and how comfortable and how much you love and how people are just amazing within the country, they look at you like, are you schizophrenic? Like, is a place falling apart or not falling apart? And it's a difficult reality to express. But the bottom line is that South Africa is phenomenal, especially when it comes to things like FICA and cybersecurity and banking and insurance and medicine. It's just phenomenal. What has South African law done to prevent or to protect the average guy in the street?
Well, there have been a lot of measures. I think it was spearheaded initially by the financial services sector, where they had to conform to all kinds of very specific regulations to protect people's information on the financial type of information. But then that's obviously moved along, and you know, we introduced the POPIA Act, which I'm sure most people have heard about now. A couple of years ago, there have been some challenges in terms of the actual enforcement of it, but we've got very advanced rules and regulations about data protection and how the average person and individual in the country's information has to be protected by organizations that keep that information in their realms. So our legislations is really there. I think the enforcement will start coming quite soon. We've heard about some very high level, very large organizations that have lost information and lost data to criminals. It's been in the press, and they have put out the messages, etc. There haven't really been any high profile cases yet where people have actually been prosecuted, but that, as I said, that will probably come in time. But as a country, very much following along the lines of what you mentioned, our pretty sophisticated banking systems, our sophisticated medical setup and systems, as well as utilities and all of that. Our legislation has followed suit and is up there. I'd say it's up there with the rest of the world. Absolutely.
You know, I definitely feel that. We take our banking, our insurance, our world like that, compared to so many first world countries, it's just a leader in the area, and we're definitely a leader in this area as well. But when it comes to senior management, is your experience being that there are times where there's headbutting? So, for example, the CIO, the chief information officer, will come up with an idea, present it to the board. There'll be a few pairs of glasses that'll get pushed either up or down, and look at him and say, "You want how much to get this?" And they look at the guy, not only like he's not in touch with reality, but he's almost bringing something fraudulent to them. And in the meantime, this guy is sweating bullets, knowing that if he doesn't get this thing done now, they will be shut down within a matter of time. How does that occur?
Oh, we see it a lot. There are organizations out there, especially in the banking sector and financial services and healthcare, like your namesake that you mentioned, that get it and they throw a lot of money at trying to prevent issues. They face challenges, slightly different challenges, but which we can talk about just now. But in terms of organizations where the board or the executive team, they still view cybersecurity as an IT issue, an IT problem. It's something the IT department would sort out. Okay, what very few of them realize is how quickly technology has integrated into their businesses, and their businesses literally run and depend on technology. So you take that technology away, you're not just stagnate, you're not just the IT department is not just affected. Your revenue is affected. Your employees can't work. Your whole business can be brought can grind to a halt. And we see it a lot where these senior people in these organizations do not understand far-reaching consequences of an organization that has been attacked and has been ransomwared or has been breached or whatever the attack may be. And it's a big problem. It really is. You talk about the IT people sweating bullets, CIO, they do. These guys don't sleep much at night because they actually understand the nature of the problem, and to try and translate it to the board is probably the biggest issue. But we do believe that the messages that we are putting out there are resonating, and slowly but surely organizations are moving towards making cybersecurity and your cyber, refer to it as cyber resilience, making your cyber resilience a reality. So, you know, the holy grail is when the board would typically ask, you know, the CIO, how quickly can you respond? How quickly can you actually pick up that there's a breach? And how quickly can we report on the extent of the damage? And can you automatically recover from any potential attack? When the board's asking that kind of question, you know that they're in the game and they know what they're talking about. So that's really where we are trying to go, is to try and educate the, especially the board members, the executives out there, of the nature of the threat and the risk of IT. Because, you know, sometimes we just shake our heads when we get a response from someone who says, either I can do the same with open source, or I haven't been attacked yet, I'll address it when I've been attacked. And we get that. And one of our biggest disciplines, I always joke about it, is refraining from going back to that exact individual afterwards, after he's been ransomwared or attacked, and pointing at his nose and saying, I told you so. No, that's we've got to stop, because it happens. These people come with these excuses not to spend the money, and then they get attacked, and then it's lots of tears afterwards.
That's so true, and I want to do an analogy with you just now after the break. But just before we go to the break, just to let you know that Disc Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional help to make sure that you can manage your health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as your blood pressure or cholesterol, Disc Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening, and these include female health screening with issues such as pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. It's fast, affordable, and most importantly, with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside your closest Dis-Chem pharmacy. Better health starts here. Craig, let's take a break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. It is 18 minutes to the hour, 12 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining me. On the line with me is Mark van Vuren, CEO of CallServe. And we were just talking about IT related things, especially security. But Mark, before we get back into it, I just heard an advert for the Kollel Bookshop. And I just want to say, as someone who spends a fair amount of time in Jewish bookshops in Israel, where you would expect them to be the best of the best, they are. There's some phenomenal bookshops. The Kollel Bookshop always blows me away every time I walk in there. The selection, the variety, the pricing, and the advice. You can ask whatever you want, but any, whether it's something more contemporary or it's an old text, you will always get the right advice. So really, kol hakavod to providing the South African Jewish community with a really world-class bookshop at prices that are competitive internationally. Mark, coming back to you, years ago, I would remember getting a call from my staff and saying, don't bother coming back to the office. The power is down and it's not going to be back up today. We solved that problem with a generator. So I will get a call to say, oops, sorry, can you just redo the last 5 minutes? Because it cut out and it didn't save something, but we'll be back up. And then together at the same time, overlapping became, do you mind if we all quickly run to Sandton City to use the toilet because we don't have water? And what are you going to say? No. And then you get a call, we can't go to Sandton City because they don't have water and we just know what the bathrooms are going to be. Can we go home? And then we got Corona, and then working at home became norm with those two issues somehow interspersed. And then you get the reality
we've been shut down. Compliance has shut us down. And I would rather have any of the other scenarios any day of the week than that one. Because those scenarios we can mitigate to a point, and it's out of our control. But when compliance says to you, there's a problem, your first issue is, where did I drop the ball? And thank God in our case, we've never had it. And if it has, it's been a silly little thing. But the thought, the way I like to think about it, is what happened if Mark van Vuuren was actually sitting in Mumbai and he somehow got all my information? And now, at any point in my life, he can do what he wants. He can marry me. He can divorce me anywhere in the world. My money, my investments, my whole persona is in somebody else's hands. And so I've just given that analogy because I think we can all relate to the water and electricity story. But we, as you said, we tend to gloss over the cybersecurity, but it is debilitating beyond repair.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, people view compliance, and it's very similar to what you mentioned earlier, where you said, you know, the CIO takes a proposal to the board, which is going to, you know, got a good couple of noughts on it, and the board looks at him as if he's mad. You know, people view compliance in the same manner. They view it as something that's there to get in their way of doing business. It's an unnecessary overhead. Meanwhile, compliance is there for a very valid reason. And what organizations are finding is that, you know, to actually monitor and measure their level of compliance is a very difficult thing. And that's really where, again, you know, hand in hand with a good cybersecurity resilience plan, you know, you should be also monitoring your compliance levels and where you are, and also identify the measures you need to take to be able to obviously comply and then excel in the compliance area. And you know, you talk about water disruptions, electricity disruptions. Those are all business continuity disruptions that you've got to take into account when you're building a cyber resilience strategy and plan. And at the same time, you know, compliance should be part and parcel, and should also be there. So, I mean, that's one of the main reasons we've cemented our partnership with Secyon is because they provide you with the ability to comprehensively put in cybersecurity resilience plans, but they also provide you with the ability to, on an ongoing basis, track and manage compliance. And that brings the cost of compliance down, as well as the effort to be compliant, to stay compliant, brings that down too. So yeah, compliance is very, very important, and getting more important as the cyber criminals get more sophisticated.
We've got a message here from a gentleman called JP in Somerset West. And I think angling for a little bit of free advice, which is fine, but also sounds very serious. He says, "Hi, Avi and Mark. I run a rent collection business. I collect rent on behalf of private investors and one or two corporates. Up until now, I've been using generic software and Excel. I've never had a security issue with regards to cyber. However, I have had some close calls, and I'm at the point now where I need to do something. Where do I start? ?"
Well, I assume because you are collecting rent, it sounds like you don't have a huge amount of employees, and you don't really have a large amount of infrastructure to protect. So There are a lot of organizations out there that actually their target market is you. So I'd recommend you just do the research and you're based in Somerset West in the Cape. I'm happy to provide you the details after the show of some of my resellers out there who service your type of market. But they can give you all kinds of advice and provide you with the capabilities. And very importantly, too, make it affordable to you. So it would all be about protecting whatever, you know, electronic or whatever digital assets that you use to run your business. And there are very cost-effective solutions out there for you. So I'd advise you to just get up there and just do a bit of research.
Great. Mark, we need to take our last break on the show. Let's take a quick break. I'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. It is 9 minutes to 12. Mark, we are running out of time. And I just want to ask you something more. I suppose it is more applicable to the big corporate. It is one of the questions that I saw, but I didn't get to. And that's the question, why siloed security models failing? I would think that would be a very logical way to go.
Those corporates that are taking cybersecurity seriously, and there are a lot out there, what they've been doing is they've been throwing a lot of money at the problem and not necessarily looking at it holistically. So, I've spoken to CIOs of organizations and they've got 35 to 40, sometimes even up to 60 different IT or cybersecurity solutions in their environment. So they've spent a lot of money on it. But the trouble is that these systems don't necessarily all talk to each other. And to get them to talk to each other is a massive expense. So when you have a scenario where there is a cyber attack on you, your tools are all lighting up and telling you, hey, there's a problem. But your technicians, your operators who've got to now address the problem, they are spending so much time trying to figure out exactly where the problem is because three or four of the systems are alerting you, others aren't alerting you, that type of thing. And that time that it takes for them to actually start piecing everything together is what we're referring to. So we talk about tool sprawl, where you've just got a lot of technologies that are protecting you, but in protecting their little individual spaces, and you don't have that holistic picture. And so that's, our message is you've got to actually take platform approach. So when cyber attacks happen, you've got all the information in one pane of glass at your fingertips so that you can either automatically react to it, which is what more mature organizations have the capability to do, or you can react very, very quickly. You don't have those gaps of the disparate systems not talking to each other and not giving you the exact triage of where the issues are.
Mark, is that about getting one system that combines everything onto one dashboard, so to speak? Or is it about taking everything down and rebuilding?
That's a very, very, very interesting question. We are not advocates of, in the IT world, we call it rip and replace. Okay. We aren't advocates of rip and replace because that's very costly. Organizations have spent a lot of money. They've got very skilled resources in particular areas and technologies, and to take those technologies out and put new in is often, it's too daunting a task. So what we are saying is pretty much along the lines of if you take what you've got in your environment and you find a platform that can tie it all together and give you that single pane of glass, that's what you should be looking for as an organization. So you'd typically be looking for a technology that is multifunctional, can do a lot of stuff itself, but it can also incorporate what you've already got in your environment and then make sense of all of that and provide your people, your technical people who are protecting the environment, provide them with the right information, with the right views so that they can act in the right manner and act quickly.
Mark, thank you. You've helped me out personally. One of my sons is very much involved in what we call in this country the high-tech industry and works for companies that do just that. And there were often times where I'd listen to him talk and think like, but why are all the other systems not doing what they meant to be doing? And I just sat very interestingly with him and another youngster who's in his first year of university but spent his army service in the cyber unit in Israeli, what's it called, Modi, in their intelligence sector.
Yeah.
And they were talking, first of all, they talk a different language. It's fascinating to hear. But how this youngster got it and he understood it and he just was like on the ball. And it really boils down to, I suppose, having the right people in the right jobs. Mark, we out of time. Just from the responses that we've got, I think we've given a lot of people a lot of sense of calm, because they either understand what they need to do and that there's a real problem, or that they're doing the right thing. And I think that this last point about that single pane of glass that you said, with everything feeding into it, has also hit a nerve, because people seem to feel like they're running around with all this this different technology and it's not speaking to each other. Mark, how can people get hold of you?
You could visit our website. We are www.corserve.co.za. And also, you know, I'm available, my mobile number. I'm not sure, can we give it out on air?
Sure, why not?
083-326-8287. Happy to take any calls.
So 8287.
That's correct. You're 083-326-8287.
Mark, it's been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for your time, and wishing you good night's rest and all the best in the business.
Thank you very much for having me, Avi. Really enjoyed the show.
Thank you. I thoroughly did. Thanks for pushing the buttons, Craig. Speak to you.
Thanks, Craig.